Welcome, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. With Debbie Giorgiani, I am Jerry Usher. Yes, I still have a voice. After this is the third Take Two show this week, and I hosted 2 hours of Catholic Answers Live Monday and Tuesday, and I think I'm just getting stronger by the day here, hopefully, God willing. So it's good to be with you, and Debbie, it is part two of...
Part
you made
two.
The executive call on the air, which I think was brilliant yesterday. We had so many phone calls, people waiting to share at the end of the show yesterday. That happens often.
Yeah.
But every now and then, you and I just get that sense that we need to carry a topic over, and that's what we did.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to hearing the calls that are going to come in today on the part two of the show. What one-time liability has become your strength? That's the question we asked yesterday, and phone lines just lit up. So if you couldn't get in yesterday, please call back right away. I know Tim is going to be calling in because he actually texted me and wanted to share some things. And so call in quickly, and Ryan will get you to the front of the line because you were waiting yesterday. But Let me give the number first, and then let me share, Jerry, some of the calls we had yesterday. The number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. What one-time liability has become your strength? We heard from Patricia in Boston, Massachusetts. A wonderful call. Brian, also just amazing. I mean, amazing calls yesterday, Jerry, Kathy and Susan and Mary, talking about their things that there were obstacles, and now has become, their strength. Lexi, called in, just phenomenal. And she was the one who was sharing about, you know, all the over 25 surgeries she had, and how she really got to a place in her life where she realized it wasn't all about her, you know, the ego. She lost her ego. I mean, what a great call. She inspired so many people. Lexi, if you're listening, so many people texted after the show and said, wow, Lexi's life story really helped me to get outside of myself. And it's just awesome. And then there were others too that were holding, like I know Tim is calling in right now, and Sharon and Carmen and Jose and Melissa, and all you guys, we couldn't get to you yesterday, but we'd love to hear from you today. So you were talking about the things that were obstacles that you grew up with. Like, Jerry, do you remember Mary, who had scoliosis, okay, and was talking about the hard work of you know, her getting her body back into shape, and it's just amazing. Jerry, I'll tell you what, we learn every single time from our listeners, but this is the kind of stuff that is so good for our spiritual life. It helps us. It moves us along that journey of life to get closer to God. And we do that through each other's experiences. I just feel so, wow, incredibly honored to be with our listeners each day, Jerry.
I do too. And, you know, you mentioned some of the people who were on the line yesterday at the end of the show. Jose, you mentioned, was one of them. Jose, if you're listening, we'd love to hear from you. We just see little snippets of what it is that you want to share when you come on the air from our call screener, Ryan. And I believe, if I remember, Jose, you said something, you were going to say something about how you had cancer at one point, and how that certainly could have been, and probably at a time, for a time, was a liability, but you had been strengthened because of that experience. So, give us a, if you're listening, Jose, again today, and I know that some people can't listen every day, but here's the gist of the program, folks. Maybe you were short growing up, you know, and you thought, man, I can't do anything. I can't play ball with the kids. I can't, you know, I'm not tall enough. I'm not fast enough, whatever.
Hey, stop, you know? It. Are you talking about me?
I didn't mention you by name.
It's okay. I take offense to that. No,
but maybe later in life, you know, that served you well. Or maybe there was a subject in school you just didn't do really well in, and you thought, boy, well, that's going to hold me back in life. And then all of a sudden you got the momentum, or you just received the inspiration to dig deeply and get really good at that. And maybe that became your career. Who knows? So that's the key here is to, for all of us to be inspired, because all of us, Debbie, so many people are listening right now thinking, well, because of X or Y or Z, I am limited in what I can do in this life. And God, I don't buy the line, we can do anything we put our minds to, because that's obviously ridiculous when you take it to the logical extreme. But we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us if we trust in him. And as you said, work hard to get there. So
Philippians 4:13, I think you are citing, correct? Am I right about that?
I think you'd
it's
have
Philippians 4:13. I think it is. Jerry, I stopped growing in junior high, so I realized I wasn't going to play basketball anymore, and I switched to golf. That's why, see, you could do other things. I became a really decent golfer. So, yeah, things like that you could do. We want to hear from you. What one-time liability has become your strength? Did you look it up? Is it Philippians 4:13? Did you
it
look
is.
It up?
You're yeah? brilliant, wow. as always. I should have just said, of course, Debbie. Of course it's Philippians 4:13. My goodness, what's the matter with me?
Right. Okay. But you know what, Jerry? This is a great topic. And, you know, I was watching this program last night, and they were talking about how when Christians join together, they really can put the enemy at bay. They can put the enemy far away when Christians join together in good, wholesome support and encouragement and talk. And I was watching this program last night, and I thought, you know, that is so true. We're in a world where we're dividing each other all the time. You look at the news, and everybody's so divided. But, you know, this kind of talk we're having right now, this brings us together, and it helps us on our journey of faith. So call in. What one-time hindrance, obstacle, impediment, cross, disadvantage is now your strength, and you can share with us what that means for you in your life and your spiritual life. 833-288-EWTN. See how easy you can remember it? 833-288-3986.
Yeah, I mentioned yesterday, I'm not going to go into it all again, but my club feet when I was born, that was definitely a hindrance, an obstacle when I was growing up. And, you know, it just pushed me harder. So I think I did pretty well in life and athletics and so forth. And I remember too, one time I had a very bad accident with my left arm, and it ran through a plate glass shower door. And, I thought I was going to lose my arm. You know, you talk about an obstacle or a hindrance or a liability. I mean, I didn't think I'd ever use my arm again. And over time, Debbie, it became my dominant arm, you know. So I think when with determination and, again, the help and grace of God, not everything, you know, can be turned around quite like that, but a lot of things in life can. And boy, you hear the stories, Debbie, and it's just your jaw just hits the floor when some people tell you what they've overcome in life. So this is totally inspiring to talk about these things. I love it.
Oh, yeah, me too. This is good stuff, guys. So please weigh in. If you feel that little nudging in your spirit and you say, you know what, I could share my life story, it could help others, now's the time to call in. 833-288-3986. This is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. We wait for you. So please call in. When we come back, we're going right to the phones. And Tim was first up from yesterday. Now he's first up today.
Right to your phone calls here in a moment on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Earlier in the morning, if you are up very early on the West Coast, or probably about to average time on the East Coast, or wherever you happen to be around the world, of course, it's always available on podcast as well. But Morning Glory, Deacon Harold Burksivers recently joined Gloria Purvis. Together, they make a dynamic 1-2 punch. They are fantastic. They are dynamic. They are excited. They're passionate about the faith. They have great guests on. You really should try and check out Morning Glory with Gloria Purvis and Deacon Harold Burksivers. And it'll be back on tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Time. Okay,
love it. Okay, what one-time liability has become your strength? And like I said, Tim called in yesterday. We couldn't get him on the air, but he was first up. He got to the head of the line. We told him to go ahead and do that. Tim in Findlay, Ohio, on Facebook, we're waving to you, Tim. Welcome to Take Two.
Thanks. And one thing here, it's not short. It's under tall.
There you go. But what do they call it? Vertically challenged,
vertically,
I think, Tim.
Yeah,
something like that.
Vertically challenged.
Yeah, that too, but, you know. But no. Mine was not having a father figure. You know, my dad leaving, like, in, I think it was like 63. And for 25 years, you know, because that's just on my life. So I didn't have I didn't grow up with a father figure. But it taught me to learn how to respect women because of what my mom sacrificed. It taught me that, a woman plays wherever God wants her to be, whether it be a, you know, housewife or flying an F-16.
Right.
There was one little incident that kind of words of a Curcio brother. I was at a Curcio weekend, helping with the Curcio weekend, and one of the talks by one of the brothers, he talked about the father son experience, and afterwards I told him I never experienced that. But what he told me stuck with me, and actually I was able to put it in practice twice. But he told me plainly, be a father to all you, to whoever you meet. So that was basically it. My liability was the lack of a father figure, and the blessing was being able to treat women the way they're supposed to be treated, and being the least a father figure to others.
Beautiful, Tim. Thank you for sharing that, because you've listened to the program and you know that you and I have this in common, as do probably thousands of other men and women who are listening right now, did not have a father or a mother in their life for that matter, and it leaves a gigantic hole. And the thing is, we by our nature, we are wired to have that relationship, and when it's taken from us, or when it just is, when it's there, when it's absent, when it's missing, we want to put something else in there. And so many times, Tim, as you know, people turn to the wrong things, go down the wrong path, do the wrong behaviors, and it turns out sometimes disastrous. You had the grace, but you also had the interior fortitude and the virtue to be able to take this in a positive direction. And you have done something that is so many other men have done, thanks be to God. And they have taken the bad situation and said, I'm not going to repeat that. I'm going to turn this around and make sure that I don't treat my wife, my mother, women in my life. And you even extended it. You said, you were a father figure to, you wanted to be a father figure to everybody you meet. And so, Tim, that's a way to, in a sense, sort of break the chain that comes down. The Bible says the sins of the father are passed down to the third and fourth generation. And then courageous people, heroic people, Tim, like you, come along and you say, enough. That's enough. It's going to end with me. I'm going to turn this thing around. And Debbie, it sounds like he's done that. I just love what he said.
Oh, yeah. And Tim, I was just hearing you speak, and I just want to affirm you in the gentleman that you are, because you have always been so encouraging and kind and respectful. And you're just, it's so amazing. You're sharing about how you grew up and how you made that conscious effort to make sure you respect women. It definitely shows, and it's a beautiful thing. So I just want to say kudos to you, Tim. We just love having you as a friend and also part of the Take Two family. Anything else you want to share with our listeners since you called yesterday?
Yeah, it was just the where I had a chance to put my words to action was that when I attended Owens Community College here locally, and then my first year at Arizona State University, because there was a young lady you got to be good friends with. When she first saw me, she thought this guy's not approachable, but when she got to know me, I was kind of like her uncle to her. But with just being able to be a father figure to all these students that were much younger than I.
Right.
I was the old man. I don't call it old man, but I was the elder in the crowd.
You have a youthful spirit, though.
Yeah, and you know what, Tim? That's one place. There are so many places, so many locations in this world, but on college campuses, kids are really in need of that mentoring, that guidance by, maybe like you said, a father figure, an uncle figure, whatever, in a very, very healthy way, and I'm sure that you provided that for so many people. Thanks, Tim, for the call.
Thank you, Tim.
2 days in a row, we were able to get you on today. We're so glad that you called us back on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Okay, wow. So what one-time liability has become your strength? We are learning, we are growing, we are changing at each and every call. Let's hear what Mildred has to say in Anchorage, Alaska. Hi, Mildred. Thank you so much for waiting, and welcome.
Good morning, and thank you very much for taking my call. This is the first time I've gone public with this. Now, it's about forgiveness. It's not who or why. It's about the results of forgiveness. I was shot in the head while I was sleeping. Of course, we went through the process. The surgeon told me that I not only had one guardian angel by my side, but two. Okay. So then the process went on. We lived on 35 acres in Colorado. The second part was I had to sell the house, and I was, you might say, yelling and telling the Lord, "You're my father, please, I need your help. I have to sell this house." Well, now we're on the peak of the mountain, and the sky became black, and lightning was unusual. It was all over the sky. And then a light came over the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. And at that point, I got a call and said, "Milton, we sold your house." Now, the thing, the result of all this is, I have not been ill. I don't take any kind of pills. I have not taken anything, and I've been healthy for the years following that, where I haven't had the flu or colds, absolutely no illnesses. So that was the result of my forgiving the person who did this.
Wow. So Mildred, we have just a little bit of a phone connection issue, but I just wanted to make sure I got this correct. So you were shot in the head while you were sleeping, and you found it in your heart to forgive. And in that forgiveness, all of these, I guess, beautiful blessings have flowed and have been surrounding you. You talked about the two angels, the guardian angels. You know, this goes hand in hand with what Padre Pio always said about the guardian angels. They are very, very active. They're always in communication with one another. They help one another. You can send your guardian angel to talk to another guardian angel. And it's just very interesting, Mildred. So you found it in your heart to do this, and the result of that has been great things that have come back to you. Did I get that correctly? And Jerry, did you hear that the same way?
Yeah, well, I'm going to see if Mildred confirms what your assessment of that. Mildred, what do you think of what Debbie was saying?
Excuse me?
Yeah, what do you think? Did Debbie kind of capture the essence of what you were sharing there, Mildred, with us?
Yes, that's okay. How God works when you forgive people.
Yes.
Wow. What a beautiful heart you are.
Yeah,
wow.
Well, Mildred, you mentioned, Mildred, too, that you have not been sick. You haven't had the flu. You don't take any medications. I think you kind of tied that back into your forgiveness. And I was talking with someone the other day, and I don't know, she didn't back this up with statistics or anything, but she just said a large majority of people who are in hospitals with serious illnesses, even life-threatening illnesses, are there because of, at least in part, due to unforgiveness. And Debbie, I think it makes a lot of sense, because when we hold on to that kind of stuff, you know, we're the ones who pay the price. You know, I've heard a resentment described like rat poison that we buy, you know, in an attempt to kill somebody else, and then we eat it ourselves. You know, resentment is self-inflicted, you know, and it does lead to a lot of very unhealthy things in our lives. And Mildred has avoided those because she had the grace to forgive. We need to all pray for the grace to forgive.
Wow. Mildred, thank you so much for gracing our show today and sharing what you shared. I mean, I think it does help all of us to soften our hearts and realize that, you know, forgiveness is the right thing to do, and it's beneficial for ourselves. It's so true, Jerry. When you hold on to anger, resentment, frustration, anything like that, it's going to manifest itself even in disease. You know, it's really a hard thing on the body, and we need to learn from one another. And if you could do that, Mildred, if you could forgive the person that shot you in the head, wow. I think that's a lesson for all of us to listen up. Thank you so much for calling from the beautiful, beautiful state of Alaska. I love Alaska, home of the tallest trees I've ever seen in my life.
Thanks again, Mildred. 833-288-3986. Take two with Jerry and Debbie. It's a part two. Yesterday we did this and just carried the topic over because so many of you wanted to get in, talking about if you look back in your life and there was a time when something, a physical condition, some kind of, maybe you were not really good at something or whatever it happened to be, and you thought, man, this is a hindrance for me right now. It's a liability. And over time, you have managed to turn that into a strength with the help of God's grace. Mm-hmm. Share that with us, 833-288-3986, and inspire like our callers are doing. Grace, hang on. You're going to be right after Elizabeth, who's calling from Brenham, Texas, listening on, it doesn't say here, I presume Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome.
Yes. Good morning. How are you?
Great, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm good. I was just going to call in and say I was about 5'7" when I was 15, and in junior high, I was just kept growing taller and taller. So it was a tough time anyway, junior high, and then I would get teased. I was in a smaller school, and like about 20 kids, I was the tallest, even taller than the boys. And, you know, I kind of was, you know, you already feel self-conscious, and I was kind of an overachiever. So you want it to be not only good in your grades, but socially. And so sometimes the guys or the girls would say, oh, you're never going to have a boyfriend or get married or have children. Well, even at a young age, I loved children, you know. And when you're that young and you just didn't in small towns, your whole world, and it's like you can't see past that. You almost believe that when people tell you that. Plus, you know, it's kind of shy and sensitive anyway. But and then I thought, well, I can't change the physical aspect. And I've never really talked about this either, but at the time, it was, you know, just so heartbreaking for me to think, oh my gosh, I can't change this. I keep growing and growing. I don't know if I'll ever stop. And then I am like 5'11". At one point when I was younger, I was like 5'11¾". So, and at the time I would have, if they had an operation to like say, okay, we can remove something from your bones to make you a little shorter, I would have, because, you know, you're young, you don't understand. And I thought, I saw it as a defect, but thank God I had my faith and I had a loving grandmother, but she demonstrated that faith to me, always kind, unconditional love. And I knew that God, through her example and her prayers and, you know, going to church, that God loved me no matter what. And of course I was, thank goodness I had friends who were loving to me, but at that time you're trying to get a boyfriend too, you know, when you get up into high school. But, and college helped, you know, I would go to the youth group, and when I got to college, of course, it was a bigger amount of people. And yes, there were people who were taller than me, guys as well as girls, you know.
Wow.
Are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here.
We're taking in every single syllable that you're sharing, and we can relate. I mean, you know, Jerry, you grew up in a small town. I grew up in a small town in New Jersey, and you're so right, Elizabeth. I mean, kids can be really tough. They can be really cruel, and you can never be perfect enough in elementary school or junior high. Somebody's always going to find something. But the one thing though, Elizabeth, the cool thing about your situation, you're talking about your grandmother having the strong faith and that kept you centered, and that's awesome. But now you look at your life now. I mean, you are just a beautiful height. I mean, look at Nicole Kidman. Everybody, when she married Tom Cruise, you know, she towered over him. But you know what? She was just a model of grace and just beautiful. And it was just very interesting how the things that really were picked on when we were kids now turns out to be probably your greatest blessing. I'm sure people say to you all the time, Elizabeth, tell us the truth. People say, oh, I wish I was as tall as you. I wish I had your height. Do people say it, Elizabeth?
Yes, and I do pass on to young girls, because sometimes I can see it. I can see they're kind of hunched over or they're trying to crouch down, and I try to say it in a nice way, like you're saying, oh, you have a lovely height, and I promise it gets better. And one girl's like, when? I said, well, you know, it takes time, but I said, you know, like when I got to college, I met, you know, people from all walks of life and heights. And plus, I can eat pretty much almost everything I want. And thank goodness I work, you know, it was good to be in athletics, you know, in volleyball
awesome.
And basketball.
Hang on, Elizabeth. We'll be right back with you in just a minute on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Great to have you with us on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. Part two of yesterday's show. what one-time liability is now a strength for you. Elizabeth in Brenham, Texas, talking about having been very tall in junior high school and teased often about that. But thanks be to God, as Debbie confirmed, and you were mentioning, Elizabeth, I think you said your grandmother, it has helped you realize and understand through your faith and her helping to impart the faith to you, you know, that God was with you and God had created you exactly the way you are. And I think this is such a key component, and it's missing in a lot of young people's lives today. And that is the fact that we need to just understand, you know, God, what's the old saying? God don't make no junk. You know I'm good because God don't make no junk. Right. And so many of us, we get caught up in these, you know, we're too tall, we're too short, I can't run fast enough, I have freckles, you know, I'm wearing braces. I remember when I was in high school, you know, I wore braces and I was so ashamed of that. You know, I remember seeing my...
We all did.
Well, yeah, but Debbie, I see my, what was it, sophomore class picture, I think, and I'm smiling with my mouth closed, you know, because I was ashamed of that. And then I had these horn rim glasses, and the key to all of this, or one of the keys anyway, is of course a healthy family environment, but also just teaching kids, helping them draw closer to God, practice the faith, go to Mass, spend time in adoration, get to know Jesus, get to know the God who made you exactly the way you are. Right. And it's not going to eliminate all of that, I'm sure, but I think there's going to be a healthy sense of knowing who you are and how God made you, so that it's not going to knock some of these kids off center and get them to be so, you know, depressed and stuff nowadays. Yeah. But Elizabeth, I'm so glad that, you know, it sounds like you've managed just fine and are doing quite well, I hope and pray. Sounds like
yeah. And Elizabeth, you said you're helping others to deal with their issues of growing up and maybe being tall for their age and stuff like that. And so that's really, I mean, that's very helpful because you lived through it, so you can help others. Do the girls that you help or that you kind of talk to, do they respond well to it, or do you see them still kind of slouching over going, nah, I just wish I could just kind of walk away from all this? What's your experience of that?
Sometimes it's kind of mixed feelings, but usually they are smiling. It kind of gives them hope. And you know, I was trying to tell my own children, hope is a powerful thing. Of course, I was praying to God when I was young, and he didn't make me shorter, but he helped me find taller friends or you know, and then I had friends who were shorter, of course, but I meant like, you know, I found people to date. And when I dated guys who were all high too, kind of like you were talking about Nicole Kidman. Mm-hmm. And my husband is actually shorter than me. He is probably just around maybe 5'9" and a half or 5'9", and you know, so I'm like a couple of inches taller than him, but it's not an issue. You know how it is when you get older, but when you're young, you know, my grandmother, and you know, she has passed on, but I still have that faith that she taught me, and you know, trying to accept myself. And then the blessing was to help accept others. And I think like when I talk to young girls or even guys, I said, you'll meet all kinds of people. I promise you it gets better. And of course, one young man said, when? I said, well, I can't say when, but you know, hang in there. And that's what my faith gave me, that hope. Like even when I prayed, of course, I knew it wasn't going to be instantaneous. And I'd read from Ann Landers, you know, try to turn it into a positive instead of negative. So right. I went more towards sports, you know, because you know, they wanted tall people.
You'd and, be the center in the basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did like basketball. I especially loved volleyball, and then being comfortable in my own skin. Of course, that takes time for everyone, but swimming helped that, or, you know, just trying to be around people. It kind of helps you realize who your real friends are, if that's helpful. And I wanted to say, I do try to think hope was something that it's underrated, because I would pray, and somehow I knew that God. And, you know, of course, it still emotionally was hard, but I had that belief because of growing up with a strong, you know, my grandmother's strong faith, and like my parents tried to, but, you know, sometimes, like my kids will tell me, Mom, you have to say that because you're my mom. But just holding on and having that faith and hope, I thought, oh my God, I hope that when I get older, I'll meet someone who accepts me for who I am. And so it kind of helps you weed out, you know, who's your real friend and who's not, if that's helpful too.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Elizabeth, if you've been listening to the show on a regular basis, we have a prayer book that we keep for the living and the deceased of the Take Two family. And we would be so honored to enter your grandmother's name, her first name, because you know what, you are celebrating the great things that she taught you and this sense of hope. And you're right, because as children and growing up as adolescents, we can lose that hope very quickly, especially especially if the family's breaking down, if the world's, you know, caving in on you, if you're being bullied, if things are happening, you can lose that sense of hope. Your grandmother was a very wise woman, very strong woman of faith, and we would be honored if you could give us her first name. I'll enter her into the book.
Oh, that would be wonderful, Annie. And she was such a simple, humble, Annie, yes, A-N-N-I-E, and she was such a simple, humble woman. Annie Sophie was her middle name, but, you know, like wisdom, you know, Sophie, but her first name was Annie, so.
Awesome.
She would be honored, or she is honored.
Yeah. Oh, she is.
She's smiling right now going, that's my granddaughter. That's awesome. That is beautiful. Thank you, Elizabeth.
Have a blessed day, please. Keep us in your prayers, if you would be so kind. All the show team, Rich, Jeff, and Ryan, and folks at EWTN, and Michael and Mike. Michael and Mike. I could go on and on.
Deborah.
Yeah, Mike and Jack and everybody.
Tom.
And Debbie and me, of course. Tom. Yeah. Stop, Debbie. We got to get a show. Got to get back to the show here.
Just keep everybody in your prayers.
Yeah, and we will do the same, obviously, for you. Grace, hold on. If you'll allow me just 60 seconds, Grace. I want to say something, Debbie. You know, I mentioned there a minute ago, and this should go without saying, that, you know, if we encourage kids to draw close to God, the God who created them exactly the way they are, exactly the way each one of us is, that is going to be so very important in helping them, you know, adjust to some of these awkward things in life, or what would appear to them to be awkward. But I would also say, and I would encourage anybody who is feeling a lack of self-worth, or that you just don't measure up, or you have shame or whatever, spend time a real amount of time, not just a couple minutes at a time. You know, go in for an hour, if you can, in adoration, but look at the cross. Look at the crucifix and just gaze upon it. And pretty soon, the message that will come to you is you're going to go, wow, the Son of God did that for me. Mm-hmm. I have to be worth an infinite value. You know, and this can be an antidote to so much that's out there in the world, Debbie, today. People are walking around thinking, I have no worth, I have no meaning, I have no purpose. Look at the cross. Look how much value you have. Would God have died for you if you didn't have that? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
I think that's beautifully said. I am glad you said it. We need to hear these things, Jerry, because the world is caving in on us. Let's face it. It's a crazy world right now, and everybody's just feeling alone and on your own island. And you're right, Jerry. We have to get our sense of what we're worth in God's eyes, and that's huge. He would die just for Jerry. If there was only one Jerry Usher, he would still die for you. He would suffer and die just for you. That's amazing. Okay, Grace in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM 130. Grace, you've been waiting so patiently.
She gets our patience award.
Yes. I was just going to award her. Grace, you got our virtual patience award. We don't know what you're going to do with it, but it's yours.
Thank you. I need all the help I can get.
How are you doing, Grace?
What would you like to share, Grace?
I'm doing great. Thank you. This is a great topic. We see so many people who play the blame game, and they've had bad things happen to them. And, you know, I'm not discounting. There are bad, bad things going on in the world. And I don't think there's anybody who's clean. I think everybody gets touched by evil. But I was molested as a child for years. And even into adulthood, it messed me up. It really messed up how I thought of myself. I never even considered that God would want such a filthy creature in his kingdom. You know, I believed in God, but I did not believe that I had any worth in God's eyes, because it was swept under the rug and never addressed. But I have been able, as an adult, to share that experience with people, and I cannot tell you how many adults have broken down and cried. I'm talking total strangers. I used to have a job where I was in touch with strangers all the time, and I cannot tell you how many people broke down and cried, hugged my neck, and told me they had never told a single soul about this until then. But one in three women and one in five men have been touched by sexual abuse. And I think that and all other types of evil we're given a choice. We can choose what we do with it, and blaming who it happened on, blaming the events that followed it, how it was handled. You can't surf through life on that board. You have to make a decision to give it to God and let him do with it what he will. And when you do, you find that not only does it clean you up and frees you from it, but it ripples out and you can use it to bring other people into a better place.
Grace, that is undoubtedly, unquestionably, a home run example of what we're talking about today. You want to talk about liabilities? Being sexually abused. I know I'm the one in five, Grace. I've shared that on the program. I did experience that at about the age of 10, and it does stay with you all the way into adulthood, and it colors your entire world, but it colors especially how you view yourself. And the thing that can really build up is this toxic shame within us, that it becomes more than just, you know, shame that kind of tells us when we've exceeded our limits as a human being, you know, the healthy kind of shame, but it can become sort of, we can become shame bound, you know, we take on an identity of toxic shame, or we can. And by sharing that, it definitely helps, like you have done, and I've experienced that myself. But you have given me a lot more to think about, Grace, because I have not completely, this is not completely resolved in my own mind and heart here at this point. And, you know, I'm going to do what you said. I'm going to say, God, you take it and do what you want with it. And I've been trying to do that for many, many years. And I'm going to, you've inspired me, Grace, today. And Debbie, I'm sure countless other people who are listening.
Oh, Grace, I have to just tell you, I'm moved with emotion at your story. I just wanted to say, I no words could ever take away all the pain you've been through. It was horrific what you've had to deal with. You were robbed of your innocence. But having said that, the strength that's in you, that is coming out in the work that you're doing with other souls who are hurting, I just think you are beautifully blessed for that ministry work. And I pray that you continue to be a gift to others, so that they can have their own healing. But I also pray that deep in your heart, you do realize 110% the worth you have, because you're an amazing woman. Just hearing you speak, I literally could feel the Holy Spirit. And I know I'm going to get text messages right after this call, Grace, saying, I felt it too. Grace, you're incredible. More power to you. And God bless you for your strength and everything that you've had to overcome to be where you are today. Is there anything else you'd love to share with our audience? Because they're listening intently to what your life story, Grace.
Yes, there is. If you're holding on to these things, if you can't, And I couldn't find the grace to just let it go. Think about it in a logical thing. Find one reason, one thing that it's doing for you by holding on to it. It makes it easier to let go when you realize there's absolutely no reason it's not doing anything to help you. Let it go.
Very well put, Grace. Let it go. Thank you so much for that beautiful reminder. And your name, I'm going to pray for the grace, mm-hmm. and for not only for myself, Grace, but for all other people. No matter whether it's sexual abuse, Debbie, or verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse,
spiritual
everybody
abuse,
has been wounded.
Yeah.
Spiritual abuse. Everybody has been wounded and traumatized, and these things just kind of chip away at our identity in Christ, and we need to have that rebuilt. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to say, you know, spend time looking at the crucifix. When you think mm-hmm. that what has been done to you, or even what you have done in life, has diminished your worth in the eyes of God, just spend 5 minutes gazing upon the crucifix.
Yes.
And say to yourself, this is what God did for me when I was
Amen.
In sin.
Amen.
He is perfect. He is all holy. He had no obligation to do this. He created me out of love, and how much more love did he show in redeeming me and saving me on the cross. So thanks, Grace, for your call in
Birmingham. Thank you, Grace. You know how I love the name Grace, Jerry. Everything I have in my house is named Grace, and that means God's favor. I just love that name. It's a beautiful name. Grace, it fits you perfectly. Thank you again for gracing our show today. We appreciate that. Jerry, can I just share real quickly about Catholic News Agency, because I just think it's important that we highlight the various resources for all our listeners to just stay informed. Catholic News Agency is the only fast, reliable, and free, folks, Catholic news source that brings blogs, stories, opinions, and more to your fingertips. For the latest Catholic news, visit CatholicNewsAgency.com. It's an online service from EWTN News. You see how EWTN is everywhere, and they just want to help you move along in your faith life, and Catholic News Agency is a real help.
You can join the conversation here. What one-time liability has become a strength for you, and maybe, like some of our callers, including Grace, not only a strength for you, but a strength and consolation for others as you have helped them in their struggle. 833-288-3986. All right, Jeanette is in Ohio listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and you're on next. Hi, Jeanette. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I called about my husband, but I just, after hearing what you just said, Jerry, I just want to say that I experienced it too, and I didn't know that you had, and I'm going to pray for you. And I also wrote an article about my experience in National Catholic Register a month or two ago, Healing and Hope for Sexual Abuse Victims. And I just want to say that God has healed me, and I want to give people hope. But I actually called about my husband, who is a classical musician and a very fine one. And right after he completed his master's degree, and we had a year's worth of concerts and recitals set up for him, and we were expecting him to have a concert career, he developed a nerve injury in one arm, and then it spread to the other arm. And he had to stop everything. He got to the point where he couldn't even button his own shirt, and we were afraid that he was going to become paralyzed in his arms. And his faith through all that and his acceptance was just so incredible to me. I was angry at God, but he wasn't. And thanks be to God, he was healed of that eventually. But he sees it now as, you know, all along, he saw it as God's will, and he believes that he's better for it. And he ended up not only teaching his instrument, but doing a lot of work for the church and using his musical skills for the church, which he still does to this day and has in a variety of ways. And he's also started a couple of apostolates. And I think, you know, the spiritual benefits, we have only scratched the surface in recognizing them. But he's a real example to me in accepting your cross and trusting in God.
Wow. Well, he is now an example to me, as are you, Jeanette. Do you mind if we get his first name? We pray, put both of your names in our book. We pray for, of course, living and deceased, but just we want to add people who just you know, inspire us in a certain way and add your names to our books. Would you, are you comfortable giving us your husband's first name?
Yeah, he might be a little embarrassed, but
okay, then don't. That's fine.
Okay.
Don't.
I'll put Jeanette's husband.
Yeah, we always ask if you're comfortable, and if you're not, there's no obligation. We just we'll pray. God knows who he is. We'll certainly pray.
Well, I've written about it, so it's fine. His first name is James.
James. Okay.
He's just humble.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you, Jeanette, for your kind words to me, and your prayers mean the world to me, you know, as I continue, you know, with that and other things from my past. And we all have things in our past that, you know, just don't go away all that easily. And you mentioned, you know, so many things there, you know, accepting, you know, his cross was a key thing for James. And you had some difficulty with that as his wife. You know, you mentioned the anger at God, which I've experienced myself. And, you know, we all fight against that because we think, oh my goodness, I can't be angry with God. But somehow, you know, I think God can take it, as long as it's the proper kind of, we're not angry at God as if it's his fault. We're just angry that he kind of allowed the situation or whatever. And, right. and I hope and pray that God understands that. There would be some people who would say, you know, that's maybe irreverent or, you know, showing disrespect or dishonor for God or whatever. I think it's a natural human reaction, but then maybe we can catch ourselves and say, okay, you know, it's not God's fault. Let me figure out where I need to focus my attention here and all of that. But I just, we hear story. The world is full of stories like this, and I'm hoping to write one for myself. And what I mean by that is, you know, you and your husband, you know, you had to scale that mountain. You had the fears that, you know, worse things were going to happen, maybe paralysis in his arms and so forth. And you had to scale that mountain not knowing what was on the other side. And that's what Jesus calls all of us to do at certain times in our lives. And it's scary. It's frightening. It's difficult. It's exhausting to climb up that mountain. And then almost invariably, when we get to the top and we start to look down the other side, we say, oh my goodness, I cannot believe I would have missed out on this if I hadn't climbed the mountain. Mm-hmm. Debbie, you know how this works. You know, you talk about this all the time. So.
Oh yeah. Jeanette, I just want to say thank you so much for bringing hope and healing to others. And based on your life experience, like Grace is doing as well, the previous caller who was sharing how she helps others as well. Thank you for bringing that hope and healing. And my heart goes out to you that what you've had to live through, but the way you have transitioned it to help others, and you said you just wrote this article, and that is so, that's such an amazing gift to others, because when people are hurting, they don't know where to turn, and they need to grasp on to other people's experiences so they can just feel like they can keep moving forward. Please thank your husband. You said he's kind of reserved and he wants to keep, you know, he doesn't want his name put out there. But you know what? I think it's awesome that he started Apostolates and he's now in ministry and he's still continuing to use his great gifts to help others as well. But that's what this is all about. We're all called to ministry, whether we like it or not. We just don't realize it. I people say to me all the time, I can't go into ministry. Just by helping others, you've got a ministerial heart, a ministerial spirit. I just want to say thank you so much, Jeanette. It really is your call today just shaped out this conversation beautifully, and I just think it's wonderful. I think we're learning and growing, and that's what it's all about. What do you think, Jeanette? Did we capture that?
Thank you both so much. Yeah, thank you so much, and thank you for all you do with this show and all the hearts that you touch and all the healing that you bring from God through your work.
Well, thank you, Jeanette. And by the way, you mentioned that you had written in the National Catholic Register. I would love to, that's an EWTN publication. I would love to, if you
Me
have
too.
A link to it and you want to email us, I'd love to read the story. If you want to email the link to the story to take2@EWTN.com, it would be a real joy and an honor to read the article that you wrote if you happen to, you know, have access to that online in the archives.
Sure.
I'm
driving right now, but when I'm next in front of my computer, I'll do that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jeanette.
Thank
you,
Jeanette.
Inspire us even further. God bless you. Drive safely. And thank you for calling and gracing the show like Grace
yes.
and all the others did, Debbie.
Yeah.
Wow. I'll tell you what. I don't think we have time for any other calls today.
No.
Which is...
But Jeanette was one day ahead, because tomorrow's show, obviously, we're talking about St. Valentine's Day, and we're talking about the most beautiful thing about the one that you love. And see, Jeanette got in ahead of time. She didn't even realize it for talking about her husband, James. So isn't that awesome? Now she can just replay this for tomorrow and for her husband. Say, see, I was one day ahead. But that's what we're going to talk about tomorrow, Jerry. What's the most beautiful thing about the one that you love?
That's
love
right.
That.
It's Valentine's
topic.
Day. Yeah. And, you know, the world celebrates that, of course. We celebrate, you know, St. Valentine, and we celebrate the saints. And a lot of times their feast days get, you know, kind of co-opted a little bit. But Valentine's Day is still a very healthy, holiday for the world, so to speak. I mean, it's about love. And so what we want to ask you tomorrow, be thinking about this, and you probably don't have to think that hard. It can be a spouse. It could be a parent. It could be a child. It could be a distant relative, a loved one, a friend. But we want you to think about, you know, what is the most beautiful thing about the one you love? It could be their physical appearance.
Mm-hmm.
It could be their patience, their generosity. It could be the fact that they have overcome some kind of liability and made it a strength in their life. Debbie, there's all kinds of things people can call in and talk about on this tomorrow.
Okay, I can't wait any longer. Do you know what I love? Do you know what I love about Marty?
You have to wait until tomorrow.
Oh, come on. Can't I just say it? He's got a great heart. He just does. He's such a giving person. I tell you what, sometimes I just I'm amazed at how he just is constantly giving to others. It's incredible. I love that about his heart. Okay, I said it.
Now are you going to share it again tomorrow?
Well, yeah. I'm going to have him listen.
There'll be people listening who weren't listening today, so.
That's true. All right, I'll share again. But yeah, you know, it's a beautiful thing to celebrate, you know, what you love and what you think is beautiful about others. I think that is wonderful. This is it's a great, healthy conversation, a perfect conversation to have on Valentine's Day, Jerry. So I'm so glad. But thanks to everybody who helped us with this part one, part two of Liabilities Turned into Strengths. We learned, we grew. Lots of emails are coming in. Keep the conversation going. You can always email us at take2@EWTN.com.
Don't forget, in 2019, we're inviting you to join the Take Two with Jerry and Debbie Prayer Challenge. Send an email to letspraymore@gmail.com. We're praying a rosary, a memorare, and a St. Michael prayer every day as we do our best to remember. And if you want to join us in those or any other thing you want to do, it could be a small, short prayer in your own words, but let's pray for the church, the priesthood, the world, the victims, the Take Two family. Just pray for each other, okay? Letspraymore@gmail.com. Have a beautiful and blessed day.